On Tech News Today, Microsoft's answer to Siri is coming to Windows Phone, Amazon's TV box could ship in March, and a new Google Phone prototype maps the inside of your house. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Friday, February 21st, and this is Tech News Today. This episode is brought to you by Scotty Vest, technology-enabled clothing to carry all of your gadgets. Visit scottyvest.com/twit now through February 24th to save 40% off 14 of their bestsellers. That's scottyvest.com/twit and use the code TWIT13 at checkout. And by Shutterstock.com, with over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TNT214. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the most important stories of the day in conversation with the world's leading journalists. Our guest today is Elise Hu, a reporter who covers the intersection of technology and culture for NPR, both online and on air. Welcome, Elise.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Now, your work appears kind of all over NPR on shows like All Tech Considered. Where else can people find your work generally?
That's right. So I'm always blogging at NPR.org, and we have a blog called All Tech Considered that matches the name of our Monday segments. But if you tune into our national afternoon program on Monday afternoons, that segment airs sometime between 4 and 6 on every Monday night. So please be sure to tune in, and we're always on at NPR.org.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us today. We've got a lot of news to get to, so let's jump right in. The Verge's Tom Warren reports on a leaked Microsoft Windows Phone development kit that features Microsoft's rumored Siri-like assistant called Cortana. His sources say that Cortana will replace Bing Search as the default action when a dedicated Windows Phone button is pressed, and that it will have a personality similar to Siri. With us to discuss this is Tom Warren himself, a senior reporter at The Verge. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic. What will Cortana look like on the screen, according to your sources?
So, unlike Siri, there's going to be a visual representation. So it's going to be like a circle, which will change depending on what you're actually doing. So if it's talking to you, it will animate as if it's speaking. And if it's like thinking or considering something, then it will change based on that. It'll also bounce around, and if you say something weird to it, it'll have like a crazy look to it. So it's kind of animated, but not like a person. So it's not going to be like the movie Her, where you're going to be talking to this thing. It's like a living person talking back to you. We're not like quite there yet, but it's going to be very like Siri, just with some visual stuff in there.
Now, Siri uses a number of sort of information or data services like Wolfram Alpha and so on. Do we know which services Cortana might use?
I don't know exactly, but obviously Microsoft's got the Bing search engine, and they feed in like Twitter and Facebook stuff into there. So I'd expect you'd probably get some of that in there somehow. But Microsoft also signed a deal with Foursquare recently to integrate some of their data into Bing and to the Windows apps. So Foursquare will definitely be part of Cortana. And they're mainly using that, not so much so that you can like search on Foursquare or check into Foursquare, like the standard sort of stuff, but more like to get the location data and the information. Because this Cortana thing is quite heavy on like location and context and knowing where you are and what you're doing, where you're checking into, and sort of learning that kind of stuff as you like use it more and more.
And one of the most interesting things from your report, at least to me, was a feature called Notebook. What is the Notebook feature?
Yeah, so Notebook is essentially, like, say you got a text from your wife and she said, oh, do you want to meet at 8 p.m. somewhere in Seattle? Let's go for seafood. What it will basically do is Cortana will, like, underline those parts of the text in the actual SMS. and you'll be able to click on it and then take actions based on that. But it will also, it will learn that you've taken actions and you've created reminders or calendars and stuff. Then it will like prompt, it will come up on the screen and say, I've just learned this about you. You know, am I allowed to store this? So it's very, it's unlike, I guess, Siri, you're sort of barking commands at the screen and you're like, I want to know the weather and stuff. Whereas Google Now is very much, it'll be, you know, it will just throw prompts at you and it knows, it reads your emails and it knows exactly what's happening. And it does all that kind of automatically. I think what Microsoft's going for here is kind of like the privacy angle of like allowing the user to be in control of it rather than it kind of being a little bit creepy, like going, like reading stuff automatically. I think they're trying to avoid like being seen that way. So I think the notebook is a big part of that. So it'll store all this data and then you can go into it and say, well, you know what, I don't really want you to know that I'm texting my wife, excuse me, or I don't want you to know where I work or where I live and stuff. So you can edit that and add stuff and delete it like as freely as you want.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead, Elise.
Tom, I just would love for you to talk a little bit about the motivation. Why do you feel like Microsoft needed to get in this sort of anticipatory computing space? Is it just to keep up with the Joneses or are they making a bigger bet?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, really. Obviously, Google's really pushing on Google Now, and that stuff is pretty advanced already, right?
Sure.
But also, like, I think they signed the deal with Bing with Apple to put Bing as like one of the main data services in Siri, just to get that information and just be able to build context around what people are doing, where they're going, and you know what's trending, and all that sort of really important data. And I think that's more a part of their bigger play to have Bing as more like of a platform, so you can use it across apps, so developers can like tap into it. And I think they're trying to sort of position that. Essentially, in Cortana, they're obviously positioning that quite well, but they're going to position that across all of their Windows 8 apps and stuff. And it's just a way, I think, because they're obviously struggling to get apps on the Windows platforms right now for like the new style apps. So I think this is another thing they can say to developers: look, you can tap into our Bing service and we've got this and we can expose all of these functionalities so you can make your apps better. I mean, that's kind of how they're trying to play catch up and look like further beyond actually catching up to the competition.
Well, of course, we have Siri, we have Google Now. We learned, we reported yesterday that Yahoo is investing in its own project for this kind of virtual assistant. And now, of course, Cortana is coming on strong and definitely headed to Windows Phone. So it looks like these virtual assistants are coming. They're going to be here to stay, and it's going to be like Star Trek, where we're constantly talking to our devices. And it's going to be an interesting future, probably a mixed bag. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I think some of this stuff is going to creep some people out. Well, Tom, it was a great exclusive, and I thank you for coming on the show today
to explain it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, well, you can find Tom's work on TheVerge.com, of course, and on Twitter at Tom Warren.
Yeah.
Well, Amazon is planning an Android-based web TV box possibly to ship in March, according to a new report by Peter Kafka on Recode. Now, Elise, this device has been rumored. There's been lots of rumors about it. One of the first rumors we had was that it would ship by the holidays last year. Sounds like they didn't quite make that. And there's some other rumors. What have you heard about this? What kind of chatter have you heard about the Amazon TV box?
Well, speaking of boxes, Amazon has been notoriously closed mouths and kind of a black box as a company in terms of reaching out to the press and being accessible to the press. So we really haven't heard much. And if you read the Recode report, you also see the same issue. You know, like essentially the reporter reached out to Amazon and we didn't get much feedback back. But this seems like a natural play for Amazon, right? They already have content and you can watch and stream video and movies on Amazon. So this would just move it to your living room and so that you can see it on your screen. So
yeah,
not a whole lot coming out of Amazon actually on this front.
Very tight-lipped. In fact, we're getting conflicting reports about whether they'll have whether the licensed TV channels or offer a pay TV service. Amazon flat out denying it. Other reports, including the Wall Street Journal, saying that it's definitely going to happen. So we really don't know what's coming. We really don't know when it's coming. The Peter Kafka report has sources that believe it's coming in March. Even the sources weren't certain that it was coming in March. But again, this is another play by Amazon. People who counted Amazon out when they came out with a Kindle, saying, you know, what are they doing getting in the hardware business? Well, I think they've proved that they can do this kind of stuff and think out of the box. And when it comes to devices and physical products, these are typically, if the Kindle experience is any indication, they are delivery mechanisms for downloadable content from Amazon, and they're also cash registers. So I wouldn't be surprised if one of the things that's different about this TV box is that it's optimized for shopping on Amazon, of course. So we'll be watching that very carefully, and hopefully Amazon will give us some more information sooner rather than later. Well, in a second, I want to tell you about a really, really cool project coming out of Google around smartphones. Something left over from the Motorola world. But first, I want to talk about Scotty Vest. You see this thing I'm wearing? Yeah, it's Casual Friday here at Twits. And what this is called a performance T-shirt. This is a long sleeve. They have short sleeve ones, too. And you can see the zipper here. This is a fantastic thing for running. I like to do trail running. And you can put your driver's license and car keys. There's another zipper down around the bottom. And I love these shirts because, first of all, they're great for running and stuff like that. They're designed for athletic wear. But they also, these pockets are great because what they do is they enable you to carry stuff with you instead of putting it. You don't have to strap something to your arm or put something in the pockets of your pants or whatever, which is not great for running. So these are fantastic for the kind of anybody who does any kind of physical activity. They're also super comfortable. I also want to show you this other product here. This is a jacket called a puffer jacket. I'm not wearing it because it's really warm, and we got some lights in here, but I want to show you some of the internals on this. Wearing this is like being covered with a comforter. It's super, super comfortable, super warm, and of course it has a gazillion pockets. It has so many pockets that even the pockets have pockets. I really like this product, and it's super, super comfortable. I can't wait for some cold weather so I can wear it more often. But Scotty Vest in general is having an amazing sale right now that you really, really need to take advantage of. It's their 13th anniversary. Yeah, they've been around for 13 years, and they're offering 40% off for 14 of their best-selling items, but only through February 24th. So you only have a couple of days, 3 days to take advantage of this, and this is really a fantastic sale. Their sale items include men and women's trenches, the puffer jackets that I showed you, the Fleece 7.0. If you saw yesterday's show, I was wearing the Fleece 7.0 product. Cardigans, bamboo polos, the performance T-shirts, I'm like the kind I'm wearing, and convertible travel pants. Now, Scotty Vest does something that I think, as far as I know, is unique. They have something called a pickpocket guarantee. That's right. If you get pickpocketed from any pocket of any of their products, they'll reimburse you up to $1,000. Why? Because it's very unlikely that you're going to get pickpocketed. These pockets are so nicely integrated inside the clothing that pickpockets are going to be thwarted every time. So this is fantastic for traveling abroad or any place where you might be in a situation where you're facing pickpockets. Scotty Vest, of course, makes far more than just vests. They make high-quality hoodies. So Mark Zuckerberg would love this. He can probably, in a jacket like this, he could probably stuff several billion dollars in cash into the many pockets in this thing. They also have jackets, shirts, pants, and all kinds of great things. So visit scottyvest.com/twit to check out the great Scotty Vest products that you can buy for 40% off during this sale. Make sure you use the promo code TWIT13 at checkout. That's TWIT13 for Scotty Vest's 13th anniversary. You only have till 9 p.m. Mountain Time on February 24th to take advantage of this sale. Now, if you're listening to this as a recording, if you miss the sale, I got another tip for you. Scotty Vest, Scott Jordan, who's the CEO of Scotty Vest, said he would put up other great deals just for TWIT listeners and viewers. So go to Scotty Vest if you're listening to this as a recording after the sale is over, and they'll be discounting some items up to 20% off. That's scottyvest.com/twit, and make sure you use the offer code TWIT13 at checkout. And we thank Scotty Vest for their support of TWIT. Well, Google announced a new phone yesterday that maps indoor spaces. It's called Project Tango, and the initiative is really a collaboration between several companies and several universities, but it's headed by Google's Advanced Technology and Platforms Group, which used to be part of Motorola, but when Google came to sell Motorola to Lenovo, they hung on to this one because they do cool stuff like this. With us to talk about this phone is Sarah Silbert, a senior editor with Engadget. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
So how does Project Tango work exactly?
So it's a smartphone, an Android-powered smartphone that has some sensors built in, some depth sensors, an array of 3D sensors to track your movements, to really kind of get an idea, as you do, of the world around you. So it's kind of just having a complete 3D idea of your location. And it's using that information to create 3D models and maps of indoor spaces. So we could see this being used in showing maps for malls, where you could see exactly where stores you want to go to are, and that sort of really in-depth sort of knowing exactly where you are and how to get there.
Now, it's important to note that this is not a product you can go out and buy. In fact, this is more of a software development effort at this point. Can you tell us about the development effort and how they're sort of seeding this out to developers?
Absolutely. It's currently only available to about 200 developers, so it's really in the initial stages. But there are some pretty big companies behind this, as you mentioned. One company, Mattersport, I believe it's called, is working on it to develop the models of indoor spaces, for example. So they're really bringing this to developers to see what they want to do with it. Developers are probably going to be doing some gaming applications. We could see augmented reality games where you have your location as an overlay to make it more interactive, for example. So developers are going to take this in any direction they want, and there are obviously tons of applications here.
But then, Sarah, this is Elise in D.C. Now, would all of the data that's captured here, any of the spaces that are mapped, belong to Google afterwards? Or is this going to be more of an open source project where developers who are taking part could also have control of the data?
I mean, obviously, that's not clear at this moment, but I do think that developers would likely have control of some data, but you can't say for sure that Google wouldn't have control of some of it. Also depends where it goes exactly and what applications we're talking about.
Now, Google claims it can measure more than 250,000 3D measurements per second. It must have some killer hardware inside.
Yeah, absolutely. It has a very advanced vision processor, as it's called, made by a company called Movidius. And basically, it's a very high-powered 3D sensor, but it's much lower powered than the sort of technology you would have in other sensing devices like the Kinect. So that's what makes it a viable option for something that's mobile like a smartphone.
And I understand that some of the eggheads behind this thing actually started out with the Kinect project at Microsoft. Well, Sarah, I want to thank you for coming on and explaining Project Tango to us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, you can find Sarah's work on Engadget.com, and you can find her on Twitter at Sarah Silbert. Thanks again. Well, Google acquired a UK company called Spider.io. The company exists to fight ad fraud. The company has 17 members, all of which have already joined Google's anti-fraud team. With us to explain it all is Alex Kantrowitz, a staff reporter at Advertising Age who specializes in marketing and advertising technology. Welcome.
Mike, it's good to be here.
So how big of a problem is fraud in the advertising industry?
It's an enormous problem, and it's one that's been ignored for a long time. I mean, I've heard from sources that some exchanges are running 50% or more of their inventory. That's fraudulent. Whitehouse.gov serves fraudulent ads. I mean, this is a huge problem, and the industry is just waking up to it, and this acquisition that Google's making is one step towards solving the problem. Google obviously has a very large interest in making sure it's eradicated, but a lot of people benefit off of it, and quite frankly, not enough has been done by the advertising industry to rein it in.
So, Alex, when you talk about fraudulent ads, this basically means not that the ads that are getting online are bad, but that they're not being seen, right? That the computers that are said to be giving counts of ads being seen aren't actually legit viewers and eyes seeing these ads. Is that right?
Actually, I mean, it could take a variety of forms. If you take a look at a link that I tweeted earlier today, you'll watch a video that Spider.io put together showing how a computer could be mine, it could be yours. Basically has a number of hidden windows that are browsing the internet, clicking on ads, and mimicking the behavior of real humans. So to the buyers of the ads, to the exchanges, these ads look real. But in truth, they're bots, and they are bringing down the quality and probably the prices of the real ads, because there's just, this might be the video, this is it. And because, you know, advertisers are paying for ads that just don't convert. They look like they convert, but they're fake.
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of a curious acquisition in the sense that the Spider team is really, I believe, seven people, and they're just essentially being shuffled into Google's existing anti-fraud team, which already has more than 100 people, and this includes data scientists, PhDs, and other heavy hitters. So what does the Spider acquisition really bring to Google? Do they have any unique technology? Was an acqui-hire? What is it that they have that Google wanted?
I mean, you know, it could be for a variety of reasons. They do have some proprietary technology, I'm told. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they've been one of the loudest and they've detected some of the biggest botnets out there. So Google might have 100 people that are doing great work. We don't know what they're doing because Google doesn't like to talk about it. But Spider.io has spoken about it, and they've rooted out some enormous botnets, and they're definitely one of the most visible, probably the most talented, one of the most talented teams out there.
They're the ones who actually discovered that malicious ads on YouTube that I think affected something like 3.5 million people. Is that right?
Can you believe that? 3.5 million desktops serving ads on YouTube that were never sold by Google.
Incredible.
So if I'm Google, hey, maybe these guys are doing something right. Maybe we should speak to them.
Yeah. An interesting development. Well, I want to thank you, Alex, for coming on the show and explaining this acquisition to us.
Anytime. Thanks, Mike.
You can find Alex at adage.com and also on Twitter at Kantrowitz. That's Kantrowitz. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Well, a TV antenna maker is working on a way for cord cutters to get free live TV plus online video. The company's called Mohu, and they plan to launch a Kickstarter campaign next week to raise funds for the device. And this sounds like a pretty interesting product. It's going to cost $79, at least for early adopters on Kickstarter. The product itself is called Mohu Channels. Connects via HDMI and also has Wi-Fi and Ethernet support. Comes with a QWERTY keyboard and a TV remote. It'll access online video services like Netflix and Hulu Plus. And people will be able to apparently seamlessly switch between streaming video and live TV. This is looking at least like a pretty crowded space, and yet nobody's actually delivered anything quite like this yet. It seems like everybody's working on this seamless integration between internet TV and live TV, and nobody's really gotten there. Do you think this product looks at least promising from what we know?
Listen, as a consumer and as a consumer of a lot of both live TV and streaming TV, I'm really excited about all of these products, and I'm absolutely going to take a closer look at Mohu. What I think is kind of the bigger question is the fact that Aereo, which is kind of a predecessor and a similar product, is still tied up in this court case right now. And so I would be interested to see if this is also going to this product and ones that are coming down the pike that are similar are also going to face lawsuits and other legal battles in the coming months as they try to disrupt a space that has been so monopolized for the past few decades.
Interesting. Well, in a second, I want to tell you about a new stamp coming from the U.S. Postal Service. Yeah, you're not going to believe who's on it. But first, I want to tell you about Shutterstock. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I've been a blogger for many, many years, and blogging has changed. The whole blogging scene has changed quite a bit. And as it stands today, we live on a visual web. If you look at the rise of services like Posterous and the use of visual elements on all kinds of blogging, you have to have visually stunning blogging material. And one of my secrets is that I use a product called Shutterstock.com. It's a service, and they're our sponsor today, and I'm really happy that they are, because I really get a lot out of this service. Some of the things I blog, there are pictures that come with it. For example, if I blog about a phone, okay, I'll show a picture of the phone. If I blog about a person, I'll show a picture of that person. But if I'm blogging about a concept, an idea, the notion of security, like there are a lot of topics that don't lend themselves to an easy to find picture, a picture maybe that's supplied by a company. So I go to Shutterstock, and they have an incredible search engine. You can search for the most surprising things. You can search for subject, of course, but you can search for color. You can search for file type. You can search for gender, emotion. You can go in there and search for things like anxiety or combining things like anxiety and security. And you'll get hundreds of amazing possibilities that you can add to your blog. It's obviously very legal. You don't want to be stealing people's intellectual property. In this case, you pay a very small amount for some very good photography. It's easy to find, and you put it in your blog. And, of course, it's super useful for all kinds of things besides just blogging. If you have a small company or you're building a website for any other purpose, it's great for all kinds of things. Now, you can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription and find the best deal that works for you. For example, you can download 25 images a day with a standard subscription. Many of these are created by super skillful professional photographers, and they make your information look very professional and very visually stunning. It's very, very important if you're online. We live in a visual web world, and you need really, really great pictures. Of course, Shutterstock.com has 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and videos. And so they're uploading 20,000 images every day. So if you searched yesterday, go back today, there are 20,000 more to choose from. So it just gets better and better every single day. You can try Shutterstock today by signing up for a free account, no credit card needed. Just start an account and begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like, and save your favorite images to a Lightbox so you can revert. It's kind of like a, when you're thinking about it, you know, and just hang on to those pictures and use them later. Once you decide to purchase, use the offer code TNT214, and new accounts will receive 25% off any package that they offer. That's Shutterstock.com for 25% off new accounts. Use the offer code TNT214, and we thank Shutterstock for their support of Tech News Today. Well, the U.S. Postal Service is planning to release a Steve Jobs stamp. That's right. You can lick Steve Jobs.
Oh, man.
The late Apple founder and CEO appeared on a secret list of stamp subjects obtained by the Washington Post. The collectible stamp is due out next year. Also on the list, Elvis Presley. So, Elise, which would you rather have, the Steve Jobs stamp or the Elvis Presley stamp?
This is a tough one, but after that comparison you just made to the with the licking reference, I guess I'm going to go with Elvis.
All right, well... the Steve Jobs stamp is going to be great for, you know, sending back that that faulty device or
that's
whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, though. It's going to be a great tribute, and I'm glad they're doing it. And it's kind of a weird scoop that the Washington Post got. They got the secret list of stamps.
Like, yeah, they're all over it.
I didn't even know there was a secret list. Well, also, Samsung teased its Monday Unpacked 5 event in a new teaser trailer today. The video appears to promote a waterproof and ruggedized product. There's all kinds of hints that this phone is going to be something you can drop in the water. And, Jason, if you have that video, we'll just run it a little bit here. It's a cool video. Samsung has had some kind of odd video promotions in the past. This one looks actually quite compelling. But you'll see all kinds of references to people underwater and things like that. So, you know, the smart guess is that they may release something that's ruggedized and or waterproof. Of course, you can watch our live coverage of the event here on the Twit Network on Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific. We're also covering the Nokia press conference starting at 11:30 p.m. Pacific on Sunday night. Yeah, it's going to be a late one, but it's an important press conference, and we are going to be covering it live. Well, I want to thank you for co-hosting with me today, Elise.
Oh, it's been a delight, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Once again, where can people find your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Elise, WHO. It's on the screen there. And my blog is called All Tech Considered at npr.org.
Fantastic. Always great to have you on.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, send your news tips to our email address at tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, post and upvote your favorite stories on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com and find the rest of our social pages by searching for Tech News Today on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and YouTube. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. Make sure you tune in to our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific. I'm Mike Elgin, and we'll see you Monday.